Hey, this is the Rebel Room. I'm Ray Brewer, along with Mike Kermala, and a gigantic week for UNLV basketball. Tuesday, they host UNR, Wolfpack top 10 team. The Rebels' best chance to get a quality win this season, except when they go to Reno later on and pay the Wolfpack. And since the last time we've talked, they're better than we thought, but they still played no defense Saturday, gave up 90-plus points at San Diego State. And here we go. Big week, Tuesday night. Lights on. Big game.
Yeah, it's kind of the game that you've been, if you're a Rebels fan, looking forward to all season, because you knew that, you know, coming into the year, UNR was going to be the cream of the crop. Like, they're far and away the best team. You get two cracks at them. This is your one home game against them. This is your chance if you want to make a statement with your crowd and by playing a good game and getting that marquee win. Like, this is your one chance. So if there was one game that was circled on the calendar for the entire season, would it be fair to say that this is it? This is the biggest game on the schedule for UNLV?
Yeah, I mean, you have to consider, A, the rivalry, right? B, Reno is a one-loss team that's ranked in the top 10. The league is so bad this year, this is the only quality team you're going to face the rest of the way. So, you know, you could really take a deep look at this, Kermala, and say, hey, Marvin Menzies, year three, how good is this team? If they lose by 20 tomorrow, taping this on a Monday, don't know when you're listening out there, but I know if you're listening, you refer to Reno as UNR and not the name of our state.
Why, can you explain why it's officially UNR? Because I know that every time this game pops up, people ask me that.
Because, so, when UNLV, so UNR opened before UNLV, and then UNLV opened, and it was initially called Nevada Southern. And then, so the school in Reno was called Nevada, and UNLV was called Nevada Southern. Then the Board of Regents and the Nevada State Legislature has passed, okay, we're going to refer to them as UNR and UNLV, our two universities. So University of Nevada, Reno, University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And then the people in Reno were like, no, we're the original. We want to be called Nevada. And now we've got this massive argument for all of times that's gone forward. Mm-hmm. So it's fun. I saw on Twitter, I don't know if you were in the newsroom the other day when I was mentioning this, but when Steve Sisolak, our governor of about 2 weeks, was on the Nevada Board of Regents, he tried to pass legislation where UNR had to call itself UNR and not Nevada. Uh-huh. And I said if I would have known that during campaign season, I would have made a donation.
And that's so it's that just kind of goes to how deep-seated, I guess, the rivalry is. The other thing that, you know, along with that, you know, with the rivalry talk that pops up around this time is how much are the UNLV players buying into the rivalry? Because I've covered the team for, I believe this is my sixth year, and the previous 5 years, I can tell, I don't think that UNLV really, maybe last year a little bit, but it wasn't really a big deal to the UNLV players, which may be changing now. I mean, if you're, I know you hate seeing UNR being a top 10 team and go playing in the Sweet 16 and all that, but one thing that has done, their success has done, is sort of reignite on UNLV's end this rivalry. Like, now it is kind of a big game for them, and we saw that last year when UNLV went to Reno and won that game, and you saw, like, the passion they were playing with and how hard they were playing, and, you know, and the players are screaming at the fans, and they're, you know, making big shots, and they're going crazy, and you could tell that it playing UNR meant a great deal to them. So it's something that may be changing for the better, I think, for UNLV.
Yeah, and I appreciate how now it's more of a rivalry. You're right. When UNLV was clearly the better team, it was more important to beat San Diego State or BYU or New Mexico than it would be to beat UNR. But now UNR's kind of the better team, and there's no mistaking, you know, when they hire Michael Buffer at 10 grand, to do the PA announcing when you know you're going to beat the worst UNLV team in three decades by a ton of points. You know the game means a little extra something. And last year, UNLV was able to go into Reno to win there in that crowd. So I think this year's team knows about it. And also there's, two locals who play major minutes in Robotham and Blair, and they know about it. And Robotham is, the face of your team. In fact, he was on a local radio show. He was on the Chet Buchanan show this morning talking about it coming in. So I would think, Grimala, that the fans would show up on Tuesday, and this will be one of the better attended games of the year. So just a huge spot for the Rebels because they need to have a good showing, right? You rarely get this kind of attention. You can't lose by 20.
Do you think that they can not lose by 20? Do you think they can keep it within 20 against this team, this Reno team?
I mean, if they played like they played on Saturday, it's going to be tough.
They could not get a stop against San Diego State to the point where it was almost funny how San Diego State scored every time down the court. I told you before we came on, San Diego State missed 25 shots in the game. They shot 56% from the field. They only missed 25 shots for the entire game, and they got 12 offensive rebounds. So even when they missed, half the time they were getting the offensive board and tipping it in. So literally every time down the floor they put points on the board, which does not bode well when you're playing a Nevada team that one of the best offensive teams in the country. Half court, I think they're number 14 or 13 in the entire country in efficiency.
Still not a good shooting team.
The shooting numbers, 3-point percentage on the season, Nevada, 33%.
Every time you say that word, you lose a fan in this room.
UNR, 33% from 3-point range. UNLV, 34.7. UNLV is a better 3-point shooting team in terms of accuracy. They are a tick ahead. And if you go to just conference play, UNR 30%, UNLV 42%. So in the past, since the start of conference play, UNLV has been a much better shooting team. But Reno, they've got that offense where they can put five guys on the floor or four guys. They ISO you. They shoot over the top of you. You can't really defend it because they're just so tall and long and they're good with the ball. If you look at their splits, it's all ISO, it's all spot-up jumpers, and they just make more of them than you can keep up with. And for UNLV, with the trouble they've had defensive rebounding, my concern is even when Reno misses, can UNLV get the defensive rebound and end the possession? So it's going to be a really, really difficult matchup for UNLV.
Yeah, so two things. One is UNR is a rare team in this era of college basketball. They have kids who've been in college for 4 and 5 years.
They have players that we know and we've watched for several years. Like, they've got Jordan Caroline, who we've been watching play for 3 years now. They've got the Martin twins, who we've seen them play, 50, 60 games now. Just guys that you're sort of, used to and you know that team, which is rare in college basketball.
Yeah, and secondly, with UNLV, just all the injuries, right? Juice Box done. DeJong out. Dembele out. And it's forced UNLV to go smaller, which when they played New Mexico at home last week, that was a good thing. They spread the court well. They hit their shots. They were fun to watch. They ran up and down the court. But then Saturday at SDSU, they're just so bad on the post. They can't rebound, or they haven't been getting rebounds. I'm sure they can rebound. It just doesn't appear that way.
Their best center right now is Nick Blair, who is a walk-on player, and he's 6'5". So they're playing when they play him at center, that's probably the best lineup they can put out there. But he's 6'5", and Menzies even says, he's not a center. He's barely a forward.
Mm-hmm.
He is a big physical, tough, burly guy. He's well built, but he's 6'5". You can't put him at center and expect to be a good rebounding team or even a good defensive team because you're not challenging shots down there. So,
but are they a better team without a Dembele in there? Or would you rather have Blair or DeJong when DeJong comes back in the middle. Because DeJong plays great defense.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not an either-or. It's if you had Jong available, you don't need to play him for him. You can still play Blair. It's just a matchup thing. When you start giving up offensive rebound, 2, 3, 4 possessions in a row, and you can't grab a clean board, or they're running a layup line on you for a few possessions, you have the option to sub in Jong, and he can deflect some of those shots around the rim or deter some of those shots and maybe grab a rebound. It just sort of stabilize things, and then San Diego State has to make an adjustment, and then they adjust their lineup and their strategy, and then maybe you come back with. So it just takes away options, and it takes away the ability to maybe stem some of those bad stretches when you don't have post defense or you don't have rebounding. But yeah, they're really thin. It's funny how before the season everyone was concerned about how big UNLV was and how they played too many big men and why do we waste all these roster spots on centers. And now you don't have any, and you see the result of it is that you can't get stops when you play against a good team. And Jalen McDaniels was just that you don't have an answer for him if your center is 6'5". Like he scored 30 and it was easy.
Yeah. So. And you know, the weird thing is you started to feel good a little bit about UNLV basketball, right?
And the 5-1 start, it was good. I think most people were smart enough to realize that they hadn't really played a tough team yet. Winning at New Mexico was tough, so that's, you know, maybe one quality sort of in-conference quality win, not a real quality win, but in the conference, yeah, that's a good win to get. So I think most people were reasoned enough to understand, like, we're 5-1, but we haven't really seen them yet. But yeah, there was no reason to be concerned or worried. Like, people were feeling good about the team at 5-1 going into that game.
Yeah, and just, I mean, obviously the season's not going far. But the good news is that if they maintain their current level, regardless of what happens on Tuesday, they'll receive a first-round bye in the league tournament, which they haven't had in a while, right? And yeah. Then you're 3 wins away from the NCAA tournament on your home court. And you could beat any team in the league except Reno, right?
And Reno got if you want to be if you want the Ray Brewer optimism, Reno got knocked out of the tournament last year. Not even before the finals. They got knocked out in the semifinals. So there were New Mexico made it to the finals without having to play Reno. They could have made it to the NCAA tournament without having to play UNR. They lost to San Diego State in the finals. So I mean, if you want to keep hope alive, you can keep hope alive that, hey, maybe we'll get a good draw.
Yeah, it's not even optimism. And the truth is, you got one less game to go through. Now, all of a sudden, you're playing in the night game on Thursday, needing to win 3 to go. A few shots fall. You never know what could happen.
Yeah, I think that UNLV has been probably outperformed expectations to this point in conference play. The small ball thing is something that has it's not surprising that it's worked because it's working for everyone in basketball. It's the way the game is going, but it's kind of surprising that UNLV has embraced it and they've had such good success with it. I didn't expect them to shoot this well this year. It's still it's the past 6 games or 7 games they've shot really well. Can they keep that up for the next 11 games of conference play? We don't know, but this has been a good sign so far. The other thing that happens when Reno comes to town or when you play them the past couple of years is those comparisons, like in terms of the overall health of the program. And Marvin Menzies must hate it that UNR is so good in conference, in state, you know, and they roughly took over at the same time, the two coaches, Musselman and Menzies, and Musselman's got them in the Sweet 16, and Menzies is sort of still building and they're on the outside looking in. Do you feel like UNLV, now that, you know, we haven't seen them stacked up side by side on the same court this season playing against each other, but do you feel like UNLV is moving in that direction where they could get to that level that UNR is at right now?
You know, I just don't see anybody in the league, not only UNLV, but anybody getting a group of players to stay around that long.
That's what Menzies says the goal is. Whenever you ask him about like recruiting or building a program, that's what he always says. Like, we want 4-year guys. We want to get old and stay old. We want to replace seniors with seniors. These are all the cliches that he uses.
Yeah. But that's not going to happen. I mean, he hasn't had a chance to have a 4-year guy yet. But I mean, Clyborne's been here 3. But I mean, listen, he's serviceable. He's been better than expected this year.
Your boy Georgie Slavonchin, and I believe this is his 3rd year.
Again, he hasn't played in I've played more than he has this year. You know, I mean, just who is it? You know, is Hardy going to be here 4 years?
He could be one of those guys. Hardy could be one of those guys. John could be one of those guys.
Hamilton.
Hamilton could be. I mean, he's not playing much as a freshman. You're always worried about four-star guys who come in and get thrown into the doghouse lasting 4 years. But
it's just rare. I mean,
it is
go rare. Through the 340 NCAA basketball rosters and find me how many four-year guys there are.
So you think that Menzies, when he says his vision and his blueprint is to build around four-year guys, do you think that's sustainable? Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think that can get you to UNF level?
It's just not how it's done right now, right? There's 500 grad transfers a year, right? Or people that are it's the current, you know, the current college basketball is, you know, you got all these AAU kids who think they're going to be in the NBA, and the second the thing doesn't go right for them, they flip. They switch.
It's very transactional. Like there are, it's almost in the pro level where there are transactions every offseason where grad transfers are leaving and they're playing immediately for the next team, and you know, freshmen are coming in one and done, and they're immediate starters.
Coaches are getting 3 years to figure it out, and they need to win right away, so they get these guys to come, and you know, and UNLV's in a tough spot because they don't have any scholarships left, right? And you could see how the team's going to be next year. I mean, it's not going to be any better. I mean, are they going to be improved? I don't know.
You're counting on internal improvement for next year. You're bringing in a couple freshman guards. Neither one of them are outside. They're both outside the top 200 in rankings. And you could get a diamond in the rough, but this is pretty much a team that's
they're probably – and they won't impact the team at all next year. So you know how the team's going to be next year. But the thing is whenever you do hit the reset button, everybody's going to leave and you got to start from scratch again. You know, could they be better with Justin back, Hardy running the point?
Tomboy? You like Joel Tomboy?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. They've got some pieces, but again, as good, going back to the original question, as good as UNR right now? No. I mean, UNR is doing something that is unheard of in this day and age of college basketball. They've got a roster of 23-year-old men. And they've got a coach who used to be in the NBA, and they're really good at home because in Reno, there's nothing to do, and they have great pride in their university. So how are they going to fare in the tournament? I don't know, right? They've got experienced guards. Experienced coach. They went on a run last year. Devil's advocate. They've played nobody. They've got, you know, I think they beat Arizona State. That might be their best win. Pac-12 sucks this year. Really, really bad.
They went to New Mexico, and they got blown out by, what was it, 30-something points?
Yeah.
So you never know in this league. Like, stuff like that happens. But, yeah, what would it mean for UNLV to win this? If UNLV wins this game, how does that improve your – it surprisingly sounds like you're kind of down on UNLV long-term because of what they have on the roster now and the way they're building things. If they somehow, you know, upset UNR on Tuesday, does that change the way you feel about things, or is that just, you know, a temporary sugar high? And
No. Much? I mean, I think that they're better than expected, and they've got some really good young pieces. I mean, Hardy's good. JTT, right? Jiang at center. They've got some good pieces.
They've got a nice young. They've got a nice nucleus that is going to grow together for a couple years. But do they?
If they all stay.
The question is, do they have that player that top tier player that's going to really put you over the top? Do they have like a Caleb Martin who can win Conference Player of the Year? Do they have like a guy who can compete for an All American team on this roster?
No,
like, they don't. And that might be what's separating UNLV from, you know, NCAA tournament berths consistently, but they have a decent nucleus of guys, five guys together that, you know, 2 years ago when Menzies took over, they had nothing. So the fact that you even have a group of freshmen and sophomores that you're kind of intrigued by is a good sign, but it's taking a while.
Yeah. You go back to that comment you made about the players they have coming in and the two guards that are ranked in the, you know, outside the top 200 or whatever. And I go back and I look at some of the teams that Kruger put together. You know, he took players like Joel Anthony and Lewis Admonson, and, you know, Oscar Belfield wasn't highly rated. You know, Anthony Marshall was a top 80 guy. But, you know, he had guys that stood around that stayed for a while and played together. And it was tough to win at the MAC because people showed up to the games. And they went out of conference and they picked up a few wins, you know, in tough places. And I get it. The schedule didn't work out this year. They thought they were going to go to Hawaii and play a few Power 5 teams. It didn't work out that way. In fact, they had to play some one-bid league teams, and they got destroyed. But, you know, the schedule is just garbage. I mean, you're not getting better. And even if you were to, like, you know, say you finished 24-7 or whatever. I don't know if that adds up, right? Say this year UNLV went 24-7, took second behind Reno in the league, and made it to the finals of the Mountain West tournament. They don't even play in the NIT.
Yeah, you're hoping for a call from the NIT.
Yeah, I mean, and that's winning 24 games and feeling good about yourself because you're beating Valpo and Marymount, who you lost to. But I mean, it just wasn't set up to win games. I mean, it's set up for you to have to win the Mountain West to get in the NCAAs. And then if you do win the Mountain West, you got to go play in the playing game.
What do you expect for attendance? You're going to be in the building for this game. What should we expect from is this a game that the Rebels fans are going to rally around and we're going to finally see them at full strength for a game this year?
Do you see any advertising anywhere advertising the game?
I have not seen a lot of hype or build up for this game.
I mean, that's not on me, Gramala. I mean, UNLV needs to do a better job of selling this game. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. It's not it doesn't have like the buzz of a fight. I'm trying to look for the attendance numbers from last year's game, but yeah, we haven't seen, like, we've seen it pretty consistently this year that the Thomas and Mack Center does not really offer you like a home court advantage. Like, it's not. I've pretty much every road game I've been to so far this season, New Mexico and Air Force and San Diego State had better crowds than UNLV. Mm-hmm. Like, those are all tougher places to play than the Thomas and Mack Center. So, that was worse than I thought. Announced attendance for last year, UNR at home, 6,700.
No way, really?
Right. Oh, no, wait, hold on. I'm looking at it.
Because they had also beat them there. That's their
Mountain West tournament game. Yeah, but it's been
even worse.
It's been like I'm not shocked by the crowds that they've drawn this year. My question is, what is, like, are they going to come? Even if UNLV is good through that 24-7 that you threw out, mm-hmm. if they had done that this year, how long would it take for crowds to come back? Like, next year, the year after?
I mean, I think if you go to the tournament, then you've got some people's interest. Until you threaten to go to the tournament, you know, if you get a home game against like an Arizona and you saw a bunch of people show up, some of them Arizona fans, but if you win that game, I mean, there's got to be reasons to be excited. You know, great, they're playing Valpo tonight. So what? I mean, that's where they're at. You know, they've got some good players. It'd be nice to see them against teams that were good.
Attendance for the last UNR game at Thomas and Mack Center, 14,000 announced attendance.
That's good.
Not bad. UNLV wins this game tomorrow. You got 14,000 fans in the seats, and UNLV wins.
I hope not. I know what you're asking.
Do you go on the court and celebrate?
If they do, I'm embarrassed.
It's a top 10 team. You're beating the top 10, number 8 in the country.
It's all right. You
stormed the court when they beat Arizona, which was number 3, I think, at the time.
Yeah, but this is our baby brother coming into town. You're not. You got to have a little, please.
Okay.
In my opinion. But, you know, maybe it's a good thing. you know, shows that people are vested in and they care. Is this like the Super Bowl for the Rebels, this game?
Yeah.
This is
it, it should be.
All right.
Like, it should be. I know that you, I know you threw baby brother, and it's like you don't want to, you speak for a lot of Rebels fans when you say, like, they don't want to admit that UNR is, like, clearly mm-hmm. has pulled ahead, but okay. It's the time for treating them like.
Grimal,
like
you ever watch, you watch TV at home?
Yes.
Give me a show that you watch.
The Simpsons. What kind of show are you looking at?
You watch like NCIS.
Forensic Files.
You watch like NCIS LA or NCIS or.
No.
CSI.
Criminal Minds.
Castle or something.
I used to watch Criminal Minds.
Okay, so I watch NCIS LA. Okay. It's got like LL Cool J.
Okay, I know that show. I've never seen it.
Okay,
it's
one of those like crime shows or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of every season, it appears that like LL Cool J or one of the other characters is gonna die.
They get shot and then
shot
fade to black and
gonna drown or whatever it may be. And you're like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? The show's gonna be over. Next season starts. LL Cool J somehow survives, and then the next show they're off solving some run of the mill crime. And one of my big theories, it's the name on the front of the shirt. Okay? The New York Yankees are always going to be good at baseball. The Pittsburgh Pirates, my team, aren't. Right? The Steelers are always going to be good at football. The Browns aren't. Sure, the Browns might have a team that finishes higher than the Steelers one year, and we could sit there and hit the panic button. But eventually, the name on the front of the jersey is better than the name on the back. Reno's good right now. It's got a good coach. Is he going to stay there forever? Are they going to afford to pay this man forever? Are they going to have 23-year-old kids all on their team forever? Name in the front of the jersey, Grimala.
That's so sports fan arrogant that like to and it yeah, it's perfectly you perfectly encapsulate how UNLV feels about UNR. Like we are UNLV. And because we're UNLV, we're eventually going to outlast you and you'll go back to being bad and we'll return to being good.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with football, right? UNLV beat Reno in football this
year.
But
how long are you willing to wait? And how long does it before that wears off?
How long is the coach going to be up there? Second he leaves, it's a house of cards. It all goes down.
I do agree with you that UNR lasts as long as Musselman stays up there. But what if he starts to like it up there? Or what if they?
How could you like Grimala? Think about it. How in the hell could you like it up there?
It depends on. It's not how much you like it up there. It's where you like it better. Like if what better job is going to come along? Like he's not going to get the UCLA job. A lot of people thought that was in play.
If
a better job doesn't open up this year, and he sticks around. You know,
eventually, somebody is going to pay him. He's not making anything up there.
What you're starting to hear now is that UCLA would have been a good fit for him, but because of the way that he does it with all the transfers, he builds it entirely on transfers, and he's so high-strung and intense and weird that he's not a good fit for those high-profile blue-blood jobs. UCLA felt that way. What's to say, like, another blue blood is not going to feel the same way? Like,
he's not going to go to Kentucky or Kansas or UCLA. He's going to go to
just a run-of-the-mill Power 5 school?
Yeah. So the SEC, they've got $1,000 million to throw around.
So he's just going to go to Ole Miss, or he's going to go to Illinois, or some school like that.
Bama, whoever, once that wears out.
Okay.
He'll go there. He'll, Arkansas. Pick your favorite, whatever team at school that's got a ton of money to throw around and let him come in for 5 or 6 years. He may like it in Reno. There's a lot to like up there. There's no pressure because you've already won.
Some people. What if?
But it's all about getting paid. He's got a family to take care of.
Those middle of the pack Power 5 schools can pay. But what if Musselman? If he stays next year, now you're talking, he's been there for 5 years. Now he's getting comfortable. Now he's putting down a little bit of roots. His kids are in school. They've, I don't know how old they are. But they've been there for a while now.
And he's still making $400,000 a year.
And what if he looks around and he sees the Mark Few model at Gonzaga? And he says, Few's been there for 20 years.
How much is Mark Few making, though? Where's Reno going to get that money from?
If you keep winning, if you go to Final Fours and Sweet 16s every year, maybe you can shake some boosters out of the trees. You can find a benefactor. I'm just saying, it's not impossible to think that. He starts to like it, and he says, hey, I can dominate this. The Mountain West sucks. I can dominate this league for 20 years and be a legend and own this place, and no one's ever going to challenge me here. And, yeah, I might make a little bit more if, you know, as the coach at Oklahoma State, but is it really better there?
I think you're going to make like three times more at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making like $400,000.
I'm playing devil's advocate. Like,
I know you are.
I think he's gone eventually. I'm just saying.
I know you are, but eventually making $400,000 and living in Reno.
I just don't like the UNLV strategy that I hear from a lot of fans of, oh, yeah, well, just wait till Musselman leaves. Well, what if that ends up being a lot longer than you think? What if you think it's going to be, you know, 1 or 2 years? What if he's there for 10 more years? You're just going to keep waiting for
him
to leave?
Is he going to be, even if he is there for 10 more years,
you've got to try to,
is he going to be able to get people to go play in Reno?
He has so far, and it's only getting easier.
How many of those did he get, though? How many did Dave get before that year Dave was there? Look at all those players on the roster.
But now, I mean,
Dave Rice recruited the Twins.
You're in the top 10. Like, you can get, so far they've gotten players. They haven't had a problem with that. If they start having issues getting players, then, you know, maybe
again,
you
though,
that,
again, who in the hell, Grimala, wants to go to Reno to play on CBS Sports Network? Kids want to play on ESPN. Even kids that are hitting the reset button would rather go to the Big East and play at one of the Catholic schools, Butler, Xavier, Georgetown, St. John's, you know, at least to be in that league. This is the Mountain West. It's a one big crap league on a crap network and a crappy city that's cold. That doesn't pair well for anybody. That's not going to continue. It's not going to be Gonzaga. Okay? A, he's going to leave because he's not making any money, and your window to make money in this world is that close, okay? Two, kids aren't going to go to Reno because there's no exposure up there, and it's Reno. This is not going to continue, I promise you. I may be wrong on a lot of things. This I'm 100% certain on.
Can UNLV be the Gonzaga of the Mountain West?
No, no. No team that plays on CBS Sports Network is going to be the Gonzaga of the Mountain West.
Well, it's I can tell it's Reno week because your passion is
I'm not passionate. High. I'm just telling you that Reno right now, 2019, is better than UNLV. Reno last year was better than UNLV. Reno's going to win some tournament games. Maybe. Who knows? They've only played one real game all year.
But the front of the jersey eventually will come around.
Grimala,
it's going to win out.
Have the Yankees sucked for a long, extended period of time?
In my entire baseball fandom, they've always been in it or, you know, just around the corner from being in it.
Kentucky, Kansas. Basketball, Ohio State, college football.
Those kind of institutions are always, I know what you're saying, they're always one move away from being right back in it. Like, they'll be bad for a few years, but all it takes is hiring one good coach, and then all of a sudden they're right back in it.
And that's something that UNLV struggle at.
I don't know if UNLV is the on that level where they, you know, one good move or one player or one decision or one win away from, you know, vaulting right back into the thick of things. Like, if the Yankees miss the playoffs, they're always one off season away from, hey, we make a couple good moves, bam, we're right back in the World Series hunt. I don't know if it's going to be that easy to turn around UNLV. It hasn't been for the last, you know, decade. But I do agree that there is potential for someone to come in and or someone to make something of it. And I just don't like the idea of waiting for Musselman to leave and, you know, counting on him to eventually be gone and then you'll take over. I feel like you've got to go after him now. Like, do you see a path for UNLV to challenge them in this conference?
Well, yeah,
this year, next year, the year after?
Yeah, of course, because they're graduating 9 guys or whatever.
And UNLV should be bringing back pretty much the entire team,
and
except
it's a
for
decent,
Robotham and Clyburn.
It's a decent little core that UNLV's bringing back, but who knows? You know, Musselman goes to the Sweet 16. Maybe he attracts, you know, the backup point guard at Alabama to come play for him. You know, hey, come to Reno, play UC Davis, score 20 points for 8 games against UC Davis, and then all of a sudden get yourself a contract in Greece where you can make $42,000 a year. You know, it's a great formula.
Do you want to do a prediction for this game? Or do you think most people will not do you think people will be listening to it, you know, after the game? And is it worth it? Does UNLV come out of this game when the final buzzer sounds? Are you going to be feeling good about this UNLV team, or are you going to be saying, man, we are miles away?
I think we'll feel I think that they'll be motivated to play good at home. I think they could score with Reno. If they could survive the initial 10 minutes, I think it'll be a close game. That's it. Thanks for listening. Rebel Room.